So good morning. Welcome to a fine, wonderful Sunday. So glad you've come to worship, seeking the brothers and sisters in Christ to enjoy fellowship one with another. Had an interesting experience yesterday. My son is part of Academic Decathlon. So we have some folks that are in Academic Decathlon. Very good. He is at Westchester High School. He's currently the number one sophomore in his school. He's really bright. He wipes me out. And now he's getting homework and he goes, "Dad, I don't get this." I go, "Yeah, right. I don't either." It takes me 2 hours to figure out what he's trying to figure out, and it's truly entertaining for me. But yesterday, he had an academic something. Okay, it was at Cesar Chavez. There's a school over there, and he's supposed to go there and spend hours and hours and hours, and they teach him stuff that I have no idea about. But I drove. So I had this, and so my son goes to a public school, and what's the one thing that your son doesn't want you to do when he has people get in the car? Talk about anything. I mean, just, you're not allowed to talk about anything, okay? But I don't operate that way. Sorry, it just, and he knows I'm not going to operate this way. So I have these two young people get in the back seat of my car, and the first question I ask is, "Who are you? What are you? What, tell me about yourselves." And the young lady really wasn't interested in any conversation. She had those Beats headphones on, and she was done. She was gone. Okay? But the young man, the first thing the young man said is, "I'm a Christian." And I went, "Good, I'm a pastor. Let's talk." Which is exactly what my son did not want to have happen yesterday. But one of the things, it was an interesting conversation because the young man is in his church. He's in a church in South L.A. He's out of the Crenshaw district. He's in South L.A. And everybody in his church is pushing him to become a pastor. And I said, "Well, there's only one that can push you to be a pastor, period. I don't care what anybody else says. There's only one person who needs to push you to be a pastor, and that's God himself. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're not called by him, you will not survive the stuff that you're going to go through." So he and I had this chat. We had this long chat about what it meant to be a pastor and what it meant to do pastoral things and what were the big concerns for pastors. And as I talked to him, I said, "You know, Sunday's not the big deal for pastors. This is not a big deal for me. I like preaching. I like bringing God's message. But this is not the heart of pastoring. This is not where pastoring gets done. Pastoring gets done when somebody does something really they shouldn't do. And you begin that conversation with that person. Pastoring begins when you begin to change hearts away from what they've done to what they should be doing. Pastoring is difficult." And he asked when's the most difficult time of pastoring is. Most difficult time of pastoring is when you bring God's word to somebody and they basically say, "I ain't changing." You've brought the word. You've said, "This is what's wrong. This is what you need to do." And they go, "Not doing it." I bring this message to you this morning because whether you know it or not, you're a pastor to somebody. Look around you and see the people who are around you that you are a pastor to. And look at how you're reacting to those folks around you. And I want to share with you from Scripture, because I think that Jesus is the best pastor. I really do. And I think that a lot of times when we get in church, we forget what pastoring is all about. By the way, did Jesus have a church? Is there a church of Jesus somewhere? There isn't one. He never made one. He never stopped, built a church, and had 4 million people. It never happened. But his church is incredibly powerful today. Not because of the building, but because of who he was, what he did, and what became. And I share this passage from Ezekiel. It beats me up because I'm a pastor. It beats me up because of what it says pastors do sometimes. So Ezekiel chapter 34 says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock?" It's easy to get on a pedestal as a pastor. It's easy to get to yourself and say, I'm holier than thou. I'm better than you are. And I need to have the choicest seat, the choicest room, the choicest place. I need to be held in high esteem. It's easy to do that as a pastor. But that was never God's plan for pastors. It was never God's idea for pastors. Take a look a little farther. "You eat curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals. You do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured." Do you hear that? You've not strengthened the weak. You've not taken care of the sick. You've not looked at those who need to be healed and cared for them. See, that's the heart of pastoring. The heart of pastoring is finding those who are sick and injured and taking care of those and bringing those back to where they need to be. So they were scattered verse 4, "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. "And when they were scattered, they became food for all wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." These pastors aren't doing what needs to be done. And God recognizes it. He sees it. He sees that they're not taking care of the poor. He sees that people tithe and nothing happens for the people. By the way, do you know what tithe is supposed to be for? Do you know what your tithe is supposed to be for? Malachi says, bring in the whole tithe that the storehouse may be full. He wants food in his storehouse. Why? To take care of those who need. The poor should be able to walk into church. They should be able to walk into any church in this community. They should be able to walk in and they should be able to walk out having been fed. That should happen in every church, in every community, in every place. I'm not saying hand them $500. But I'm saying they should never walk away hungry from any church. Shouldn't happen. And yet it does. So we need to be aware. We have a responsibility. Verse 7 says, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them." God sees. God sees what is done on a regular basis. He sees where men of God are doing the right thing and where men of God are not doing the right thing. He sees where people are being shepherds and where people are not being shepherds. And when people are not taking care of his flock, he will remove them. That clear. Verse 11. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds of darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will be judged between one sheep and another, between the rams and the goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? And if you feel like a spiritual leader, then you've probably had pasture in your blood. But if you're part of the flock, you have responsibility here too. You have a deep responsibility. When God brings you to a place where you gather together and there's a joyousness that's there, it's not time for you to muddy the water. How do you muddy the water? Well, a lot of times it's what you say and how you say it and to who you say it. A lot of times it's what you do that you do. I mean, we have a lot of folks that sometimes are just Sunday Christians. Today is Sunday, we've come to worship, and tomorrow, well, it's not going to quite be the same. Talking to that young man in the car, and the young man said, you know, I get persecuted all the time at school. I said, yeah, you probably do. I mean, the first thing you said to me was you're a Christian. I'm proud of you for saying that, but more than likely, if you do that at school, somebody's going to beat on you. So the question for him is, how do you bring them slowly to the kingdom of God? Because you're not going to turn them like that. How do you become a friend to somebody in such a way that you don't condemn them before you get a chance to save them? How do you get to the place where you work for the kingdom of God at the same time you're bringing folks to the kingdom of God? The young man has some work to do. Because he sees God's word, he reads God's word, but he uses God's word in a condemning fashion. I said, you do know that we're all condemned. We've all failed, right? Every one of us. All have fallen short of the glory. Is there anybody in here who hasn't? We know that we haven't. But by God's grace is powerful. There's a power in God's grace that is amazing. A power in God's grace that goes beyond all things. And when we get to the place of God's grace, that is where we can do some really mighty work. So we as sheep have a responsibility. We as the flock have a responsibility. And each one of us is that position. We all have a responsibility to take care of the pasture we're in. To make sure that the pasture is well taken care of. To not trample every little bit. To not eat at all. To do what should be done. Verse 20, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to me, them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd and my servant David, he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord. When I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them, they will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I'll provide for them a land renowned for its crops. They will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. I look forward to this day. I look forward to this day when all this stuff goes away. All that stuff that shouldn't be there in the world. I mean, I look forward to the day when we don't have this competition over everything. When we don't have this striving for fame, when we don't have all this stuff, when we get to the place where the only fame that needs to be is the worship of God. I look forward to that day. I look forward to the time when all people are taken care of and all people have food. Is there enough food on this planet to feed everybody here? There actually is. And yet people are starving. Why? Shouldn't be. So God says he's going to send a shepherd. He did. Who did he send? He sent Jesus. And I want to share this passage out of Mark. It starts in chapter 7, verse 24. And I want to share the whole point here in this piece is, what is Jesus doing? How is he ministering? How is he fulfilling his role as the Good Shepherd? How is he doing his earthly ministry? Look at what he does and think about the things that you can do in the community around you. Jesus left the place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then she told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on a bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, said, Apaphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. The people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples and said to them, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down, and when he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples and set them before the people. And they did so. And they had a small few fish as well, and they gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with the disciples and went to the region of there. What was he doing? Drove the demon out of a demon-possessed girl. He healed the deaf man and took care of that injury and feeds 4,000 people. Nowhere in here does he take care of paying the church bills. Nowhere in here does he do anything resembling a church building. Nowhere. Now, I know we love our places of worship, but our places of worship are not the worship. What is the worship is taking care of God's people. Who are God's people? An interesting passage in Scripture, you can go find it. You can go find the passage where a man was beaten on the side of the road, and a Pharisee went by, and I think a Sadducee went by, and the only guy that would hand him was the Samaritan. You can go find those passages in Scripture. Who is our neighbor? Who is the person we're supposed to take care of? Well, the breath of life is given in to all people by God. People breathe their first because God breathes to them. We have a responsibility to all people. I was crushed in spirit by something I saw on TV. I was watching the news report. About an incident happened. They wanted to find this guy. These three men tried to steal a woman's purse. So they tried to steal the woman's purse. You could see the activity on the screen, this grainy image. The woman fights off and she starts walking away. And the guy pulls a gun and shoots her. Now, it's not like on TV and all those shows you see where somebody gets shot and they fall over. She walked to the other side of the street. She sat down and she died. Crushed in spirit I was from watching this. Not because of what the men had done, but because of what had happened to this woman. So wanted to find a way to change time and reach back and comfort and take care of. I so wanted to do something. I wanted to be there. Because it saddened me of what had happened. There are people around you that are going through life experiences. There are people that you know that are going through life experiences that are difficult and hard. It is in those places that ministry begins. It is in those places that we are to be shepherds of God's flock. It is in those places that we have this place that we're supposed to be doing something. Look around you and start talking to people. And I'm not saying use a phone. And you may say I'm out of touch. Yes, I'm out of touch. We know I'm out of touch, okay? We know I'm out of touch because my phone looks like this. Okay? Yes, I'm out of touch, especially when it comes to technology. But I'm telling you, eye to eye, face to face, touch to touch, is so much more effective than, are you okay? So much more effective. And people around you are, they don't know it. They need it. Go touch somebody's life this week. Talk to your neighbor. See who your next door neighbor is. Say hi. Deliver a bowl of soup. Do something different. That they may see something different in you. What's different in us is the Spirit of Christ in us. They need to see it. We need to be the shepherds to God's people. And I don't mean just church people. I mean all people. I was going to share a passage from Malachi. I don't think I'm going to share all of it. I'll share it. I'm not going far with this, and I'm not talking about tithe. I know this passage speaks about tithe. Don't ignore. God speaks to you, God speaks to you. But for me, this isn't about tithe. This is about our service to God. In Malachi 3, verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruits, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you, what's that word there? Blessed. I want to be called blessed. I want my people to be called blessed. I want my church to be called blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. You ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. That's us. Are you talking with each other? And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. I don't care about the tithe and the offering. I care about the heart to serve God even when it's not convenient. Even when it's not easy. Even when it's a struggle and it looks like you're not getting anything. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We're passing through from here to heaven. Let's take some with us as we go. Enough said. Father God, I ask that you take and bless these words. May the word that you put out, may it be remembered by these folks. And Father, may their lives and the work in them change to exciting things. Father, show them your presence this day. Fill their hearts with the blessing of you. And Father, give them joy in the ministries they do. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.